Hello and welcome to Android Developers Backstage, the podcast. I'm Chet Haas from the Android UI Toolkit team.
I'm Tor Norby from the Android Tools team.
And today we have
Ben Poise, the product manager for Android Framework.
You say Poise and it sounds really easy, but if you actually try to spell it out, I can never get it on the
first There's call. A trick for everybody if you're watching. Look down at your keyboard. It's P-O-I. They're three together. And there's a diagonal, E-S-Z, three together. And it's super easy to spell.
It's how we mash your keys together, like left and hand at the same time, boom.
Yeah, bam. You can get a little flick going on it. We actually think that's how the name got spelled because it changed from Europe to the U.S. Is that in Ellis Island? Somebody just had the keyboard going and it was QWERTY.
You think the clerk just like died on their keyboard and that's what got on the form?
That could have worked out.
Yeah. Okay. I love it. So we have keyboard mnemonics for spelling out the name, which is good because everybody listening to this is going to want to know.
Yeah,
I wanted to know anyway.
I told my wife that very thing last week. She's been married to me for 7 years, and she's like, oh, my God, that's how I spell the name. And I'm like,
well, it was only last week that she finally threatened to, changing my name. I cannot spell this thing. Like, oh, here's a trick.
It's good times.
Did it work? Is she going to Smith?
She knows to spell it, and she tells all her friends how to spell it now, like her clients and everybody. It's a very good trick for keyboards.
All right. So that's why we had him on the podcast. Thanks for joining you. Today, Ben is going to talk about the thing that he has worked on in the M release. You may have seen him. You may have seen Ben in such videos as Android permissions at the Google I.O. conference video thing. So you talked about permissions there because that's what you worked on, and we thought it'd be good to talk about it today. So here we are having released preview, what did we call it? Preview 2? Preview update?
Yeah, preview update one, I think is what we called it.
We released the second preview release, so we'll talk about the state of permissions as of then, which is now. So permissions, what was the big change in M?
So the big thing is we went to the runtime model, and so the change was when you install an application, your Play Store is going to tell you, hey, this is the list of permissions that the application has, and you have this choice of I'm okay with it or I'm not okay with it, but then if you're not okay with it, it means you can't have the app. And so the key difference is with runtime is you can say, yes, I'll install this application, but I'll only grant the things I'm comfortable with. And the developer then has to kind of pitch you on, here's the ROI, like here's the return on giving me data. I'll do cool things for you. And if those cool things are really cool, then you'll probably give them access to your contacts or access to your location because you want that feature. And if they're like, I just kind of want it, then you'll probably say and should say no. And so that's kind of important for developers and for users alike to understand, like, it's a give and take. Like, so someone's going to get data, and then someone should give you back services and features based upon that data.
And it might make more sense to you why they're asking when it's happening in context.
Right? Yeah.
So you might wonder, why does this app need a camera? I don't understand why. But if you just clicked scan QR code in the app, then you might realize why it's asking you suddenly for the camera.
Yeah, exactly. And so we've kind of structured much of the API usage and the way that applications request permissions to facilitate asking in context. And there's some stuff that we're even coming up. It's not out yet, but maybe I'll pre-announce that stuff will be coming up online around like design patterns and UX guidelines of how to build your app for these different scenarios. Like, does it make sense to ask up front? Sometimes it may on first launch. Like let's say I have an application that is saving you money with SMS app, like SMS messages. My application needs SMS then, to function. So asking up front probably is okay. The user's downloading an SMS application, asking for SMS on first boot will probably not result in confusion. But if I also go, oh yeah, and also it'd be great to have your photos, location, and your calendar, then your users are going to be scratching their heads going, like, what's going on? Like, why are you asking for all this stuff up front? Those features should be left to be in context. If there's a, you know, send my friend an invite over SMS, now it makes sense as to why you're asking for calendar. If it's tell my friends where I am or where I'm going to be, now it makes sense to ask for location.
Right, and for something like a camera app, you really want to ask when as soon as you can instead of when they're trying to get that precious picture. Because it's very annoying when, you know, the toddler's crawling and you're trying to get a picture and suddenly you're getting these dialogues.
Right, and so then that's where kind of like the design patterns really help is identifying how important something is to your app, how critical is it. Like if there's really really a permission that without you can't perform it, then ask up front and explain to the user if they say no, like, I need this to live. I have no purpose without it. If it's something that's entirely optional, then like be cool. You don't have to nag the consumer about it all the time. I have an example about dating, which may be lost on the, the listeners, or maybe it won't.
I've heard that word, but not for a very long
time.
But
it's essentially going out on a date with somebody is how my metaphor for permissions is you ask someone up front, like you say, hey, like, you know, we could be compatible. Like, want to go out and get some coffee? And they're like, yeah, sounds good. You go, sweet. And you get some coffee. Or they say, you know, nah, it's cool. And like, if you keep on bugging them, like, but no, I'm awesome. I wasn't sure you were aware. We should totally go on a date. And like, no, it's really cool. Like, no, but like, look at my car. It's awesome. I'm also like, I work in tech. We should totally go on a date. Eventually, they're like, get away from me, you psycho. But then if you were before like cool about it, and maybe a month or so goes by, you run into them again. You're like, hey, you want to get coffee? They go, yeah. Like, let's do that. We've worked a little bit on the side and things like that. You seem like a reasonable person. Let's go out. Ah. That's context, right? They've now known you for a month. They've had other interactions with you and have a level of trust, and now you can go out on a date. And the exact same thing applies to permissions.
You could even extend the metaphor. You could say they actually know a bunch of sort of predetermined things about you just from, you know, the way you look, the way you talk, the way you present yourself, you know, the beat-up car that you showed up in, and they can make a decision at that point, yes, it's worth going out on this date. And then you don't have to until the second or third day tell them that you spent significant time in a psych ward.
Yeah.
Right. And then they can make an informed
or that
decision.
All the cars and clothes you had were rented. Point. Yeah.
I just want to make sure that I understood you correctly. So you're not supposed to keep begging for that date then? Is
correct.
Is that sort of what we're supposed to do?
I believe that's common practice.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
if it works for you, Tor.
So we're Android developers. So when you say ask for permission, what does that mean specifically?
So this UI that the OS will show to the consumer saying, like, do you want to allow application access to like XYZ? And so there's an API that the app can request, and it's not based upon when you use APIs that have data. Those aren't going to prompt. It's when the app explicitly asks to show the user this dialogue, and so
well,
the user gets a yes no.
If I were to call some API, it's not going to ask the user. It's going to fail.
Yeah, you're going to get a security exception. There's actually two different types of behaviors, so we can talk about that a little bit, of whether your application is compiled on the MSDK as a target or whether it's compiled against any target below M. Like, so we'll call it L for now, an LSDK. If your app is on the LSDK, you will not get exceptions in this case if the user's turned off permissions for your application, which they can, by the way. So maybe we'll follow up on how that can happen a little bit later.
So do you mean compiled with, or do you mean target?
Targeting. Okay. Targeting, sorry. So if you're targeted against anything other than M and your permissions are disabled for your application, under the hood.
Anything before M.
Anything before
to be
M,
clear.
Yeah.
You know, when people listen to this
podcast, I'm hoping people listen here, they need to be on at least the L. But the structure of it is if you then call those APIs and you don't have the permission, rather than crashing your application, which is by definition not understanding the runtime model, we return empty set data. So if your app were to say, can I have contacts? And we go, yep, here's the contacts, there aren't any. They go, great, can you save this contact for me? Yes, absolutely. We didn't save it. But we tell the app we did. And the idea is we try to put up a facade to this legacy application. This is the convenience of calling it an L app. That application that doesn't know this is happening under the hood, but generally apps seem to work. And you can try this today with your own applications, like for those listening.
This is on M though, right? So
when
if
you're
I'm
on MOS,
M,
yeah.
And I'm using an older app, it's not going to require these, you know, the permissions that the app is asking for. It's not going to ask me to accept those at startup. So on M, I will never be asked for acceptance of an app.
For L apps, you will. Play Store is going to still prompt you. And
okay.
So for the L apps, because they don't have this understanding of runtime and in the new API we were just talking about,
yeah.
So those L applications, they get all their permissions still. Users can still turn them off now after the fact, but we've kind of biased it so it has everything up front because it doesn't have a way to ask at runtime.
Yeah.
While M applications or M plus applications all need to then start with nothing and then have to request because they do have the understanding in the API availability to request permissions.
Okay, so who is it that gets the null answers again, the empty set?
Anything pre-M target SDK.
So that would be L apps.
L apps, yeah.
On M.
Yeah.
Target SDK.
So I've already accepted all the permissions.
Yes.
And when I installed it, but it's still not getting it.
No, you still get it.
It's if the user disables.
Yeah.
Right?
So if they disable,
the thing
I'm
we kind of glossed
that
over.
Piece.
Yeah.
So
the model for these applications is they come with everything. So
yep.
It's kind of like the model on M with old L applications
yep.
is pretty much the one everybody knows and loves today. Play Store prompts, you have to hit the accept button, then you have to install.
Yep.
But after that, there's an option in settings where the user can go into the settings app, go to apps view, and look at their individual applications and turn stuff off
nice.
On any application. And so for that scenario, we have this under the hood. We don't like make the app explode because that's not really the ideal use case. Like, here's a toggle. It makes your apps crash. Yep. So we want to make it generally work as best we can. It's not guaranteed to be perfect because this is a facade. It's not a full like baked thing. So maybe applications aren't expecting to, say, save a contact, and they try to read the contact right back and it's not there. So they try to save the contact again, and then they check the contact and it's not there, and they might end up in a loop. In practice, that's kind of a rare behavior, but certain situations can arise when using that. So we have a bit of a warning to the user that you're turning something off on an app that doesn't really understand what you're doing to it, but we still wanted to offer the control.
Yeah.
And mainly lets the consumer know, if I'm buying an MOS device, like, I'm given new controls, regardless of the developer's like SDK target.
Right.
That's going to be lost on everybody. Even here, we're like, is it a target or a target or SDK compiled against? It's lost on everybody.
Yeah.
So the idea is, if you're the consumer,
you own the microphone.
You get to choose. Yeah. There's a little bit of a difference as we see apps move from pre-M targets to M target SDKs or M or greater than M. So this is mainly this like transient method of when we're moving the ecosystem over to the new SDK, that you'll see some applications in both buckets. But the goal in long term is everybody should be asking for permissions.
So if you are an Android developer, and if you listen to this podcast, you might be, what is the process then for taking your L app and making it into an M app? You obviously set the target SDK version to M, but what else?
So the big one is to identify what are the dangerous permissions your application's using. To me, like, there's a bit of homework up front, is to understand what permissions you are requesting and why. And I think at a high level for your application, you need to understand that and understand what is the value that those permissions are adding. Historically, we found many teams, including, sadly, to an extent, ones at Google, just would add permissions in an update. They'd have some new feature. I'll just put the permission in there because it's kind of shown at the playtime and no one really gets bothered with it. So we'll just go ahead and do it. But when it's runtime, you can really get this like dissonance between what your app is asking for and what the user believes it's for. And so if you do this kind of like collection of looking at what permissions your app has, that can help you understand, okay, do I have anything that's dissonant? Like, is my SMS app asking for a location? Do people understand fundamentally why I'm doing that? And the other big question to ask yourself is, do I need the permission in the first place? One of the big things that exists in the platform is you don't necessarily have to use permissions for everything. Permissions give blanket access to things. But we also have intent OS facilitated ways to get access to data. So if I want one contact, I can use a system intent to have the system say, hey, user, do you want to give this application, like Ben's app, access to a contact? And the user picks the contact and says, okay, no permission was required to do any of that. Or I want to take a picture. I'll use the camera app to facilitate taking a picture as opposed to me getting raw access to the camera. The first one doesn't require any permissions. And so that is a way to help minimize this kind of like dissonance that can happen in your app, especially for rare cases where it's not a primary case. Do you really need that permission in the first place? Because that then avoids the problem entirely. And if you do, figure out when it's appropriate to ask. So look at your UX flows, look at how the user, like the pattern of onboarding of a new user, and when it's appropriate to ask.
Obviously, in many cases, it's probably better to let the user pick the camera app they want to use instead of having you go and be your own camera app and maybe screw up some of the
aspects. Yeah, and in these cases, like, the user has a camera app, they've preferred one. Like, it may be really beneficial to use that one. There are cases where it doesn't make sense. So like, certain applications want to have really fancy overlays over the screen. Like, I use a banking app that lets me take photos of my checks. That has the photos like camera permission because it needs to do this overlay and text to help me align the check with
the
bounds
signature
of the thing. And my like the built-in camera app doesn't have that. Yeah. But in other cases, if I'm just doing like let me send a photo to my buddy over my SMS app, that doesn't really technically need the camera permission to do that job. They could probably use the built-in camera app. Now, maybe this SMS app has some really cool camera features that it wants to put forth, but that's where like the decision making has to happen on the developer side. Is like, what am I giving the user in return for this access to data?
Right. So you used the word dangerous for this permission. Can you get more into what a dangerous permission is?
Yeah, so we're going to cue some suspense music in the podcast in post.
So the idea of we have two concepts roughly of permissions, of normal permissions and dangerous permissions. And so the idea for dangerous permissions are things where we're letting the user make a call about whether or not an application can have access to it, because there could it's usually because it's PII, personally identifiable information. So the things like access to your file system or access to photos or access to contacts or calendar, all those kind of things are all quote unquote dangerous because you could be harmed if bad things, like if applications did strange stuff with them. And so those are the ones that all are runtime based. They're all the ones that you can toggle off for old applications. Normal is kind of a legacy concept where we had applications declaring usage of features on the OS. So that we have a normal permission for vibrate. Right. Now, vibrate is not probably not going to hurt you. It's definitely not PII. It just makes the phone buzz. It could be annoying, which is why, to an extent, it was put in as a normal permission. But it's not something that we want to have toggling off. And because we have this distinction is if you made every normal permission a toggleable thing, the life for the developer becomes insane. It's just far too many toggles, far too many edge cases to worry about.
Because all these APIs would say they potentially could need this, and then you
nearly
have to...
Yeah, nearly every system API call you make has to now be guarded against the scenario where you may not have the permission to do so.
And that's because, again, some of these APIs can throw a security exception. So for all the dangerous ones, you have to be prepared to catch it.
Yes.
I see.
Actually, the rule is not that we don't really want you even to try catching the exceptions. The exceptions for security exceptions, we kind of believe, should crash your app. Yeah. The structure of it is we want to say, do your check before you make your call. So there's APIs to go, do I currently hold this permission?
Yep.
And if you do, then you can feel free to use it. You don't have to worry about race conditions. This is one that's come up a lot at I.O. I think, I can't remember if it was during the talk or after they cut the camera, but the question was around, like, what if I query for checking if I have a permission and then a minute later I want to use it?
Yeah.
Couldn't it have been removed?
Right.
And I did say this at I.O. because my joke, it sounds like, no, don't worry. This won't happen because we're going to kill you. And by you, I mean your process. And so that when users disable permissions, we kill the process and then restart it. Immediately restart it. It's not
that's
like
nice.
Low memory killer where we kill you and then like wait until the user interacts with you again. It's a restart. And so that allows then an application on boot to check what permissions it has. It'll never go down from that point in time when your application comes up, because if it goes down, we'll restart and you can come back up and your code for checking what permissions you have will now reflect the current set of what
that's
the
a
user
really
changed.
Nice touch.
That's the most effective mutex I've ever heard of.
It's, just, race it's how we avoided the race condition. And
if you change any setting, we kill you.
Yeah,
we kill you.
All right.
Yeah. Back to normal versus dangerous. So the app still has to ask for permission for all permissions, whether they're normal or dangerous, but the user can only disable the dangerous ones.
Normal ones you don't have to ask for.
Oh, okay.
Normal ones exist today mainly as an auditing process. So in settings, we'll list the normal permissions an application uses. You can go look them up in the manifest if you're really kind of geeky, or you can look at them in settings. But we'll be phasing out normal mostly in the long term.
Right, but you still need them today if your min SDK is less than M, right?
Yeah, and okay, you even need them on the M SDK target. Like, so normal permissions, we're not getting rid of the rules there. So if you're using normal permissions, just keep doing what you're doing. The rules for them are not changing at all. So anything that's normal, just keep it there. Because
But what happens if I don't?
You won't see a dialogue popped up. You won't have them be revoked. They're granted immediately upon install of the application.
So why do I need to declare it?
Solely because on older OSs, they pre-M, it needs to be there, so you need to declare it there.
But if my min SDK was M, I wouldn't have to declare it.
You still do. So while we're looking at deprecating the set of normal, we haven't done so.
I see.
There's certain value to different normal permissions, though, being there, because it lets Android OS know what your intentions are, if you will, including for things around a normal permission. So maybe this is a segue to another topic, but is around system alert dialogue, which is a control that allows applications to render over other activities on screen. If you use Facebook chat heads, that's how it works. That is something that we allow applications with a normal permission, but it also allows us to show to the user, these are the applications that use chat, like that use system alert dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
If we didn't have this manifest declaration about this normal permission, we wouldn't know which applications to show in the list about the applications that use this capability. And so that allows us to do this nice grouping. So it's less about control of turning stuff on and off, but more so the OS can show you groups of things. If you want to know which are the applications that are that could be a device administrator, what are the applications
at least you'll see the ones that admit to doing it.
Well, they're the only ones that can do it because normal permissions must be declared or you can't use it. They are granted automatically, but if your application doesn't declare the normal permission, you can't use those APIs.
I missed that. So you're saying that if I don't declare it, then it still will throw a security exception even for normal. Okay, yeah. Good.
But if you declare it, you get it for free. And so it lets us just know the intentions of the application. It allows us to do smart grouping. It allows us to also do a larger set of like security audit and analytics on applications to make sure they're being on the up and up.
So I assume that part of the benefit of doing this is also not just that the user is going to be more aware of what the permissions are and, you know, in the context of when they're being granted, but also that the application then has the chance to explain why.
Yeah.
Right. So it's not just like right now the model is you go to Play Store and this application is asking for infinite amount of things. I'm really busy. Click accept, download, and then who knows what's going to happen, right? There's a fair amount of faith and trust going on.
And typically apps get downvoted for things that are there that like this very vocal minority might look at them and be like, I don't know why it needs it. Like, this guy's stealing your data.
Right.
We see that on the Play Store all the time.
You know, why do they need, you know, access to my contact? But there is a particular use case that's really important. Yeah, but the app has no chance to explain that unless it's like buried in, you know, the README text.
Or it's some new feature that you don't necessarily know about. Right. So you've been using the app for a long time. You're like, it doesn't use location. Why is the update asking for location? Well,
one star.
Maybe the new update actually has a use case for now location that you've never experienced until now.
Okay, and so now they're running the application and it goes into this particular context and it says, you know, it not only asks for permission, but it has the chance in the dialogue to actually explain why.
And you also get to the other.
Is that true? You can in the
not
can
in the dialogue, not in the dialogue.
Okay,
you might be thinking of a different OS.
I was remembering your talk, but apparently I was misremembering. Yeah. So how does the app then explain?
So the structure of it is since the application decides when. And to present the dialogue, the application can provide context up front if necessary.
Right.
But in general, like as to why, I got this question a lot, why don't we offer like a tweetish like length of description as to why? And the main reason is the tweet length, like the short version of it, if it's longer than that, no one reads it. If it's shorter than that, we get the opposite comments from our studies, which is it's not enough information or this feels like a false premise. Like what's it really doing? That seems too short. And in the end, when we did our studies, we found the presence of that extra text to explain why, even when like perfectly legitimate, like the right rationale, didn't change anybody's opinions about yes or no. You got the same breakout. And mainly what we found was the referendum was about the brand of the application. So if you had a brand and an application use case that where they said, yes, this makes sense, they said yes regardless of what you said in the little text. And if you didn't have that, the text didn't sway anybody. Someone who's going to say no, when they read that text, you're not swaying like hardly anybody.
Did you try putting really dodgy explanations in there too to see?
Oh, the bad ones? Yeah, no, we didn't try that. But what we did though also study was, well, what if we time the placements of the dialogues to be triggered off of buttons? And so this is the one we kind of alluded to before is like if you have a camera button and you press the camera button and then it asks you for the camera permission, the idea being no explanation is needed there. It makes perfect sense why that happened.
Yeah.
And when applications do that, it all works. And so that's really where we want to be stressing for people is figure out how to do it in context. The context is more powerful than any short sentence that you're going to say there because most of the time the user doesn't believe you. Like if you were to prompt those all up front, like on first run, you're like, oh, yeah, I use this location for this feature that you've never seen yet and haven't used and may not care about, but this is why I use it. And you say it in a very short kind of blurb. People still say no is what we found. And so that's why we didn't structure it that way.
So can you explain how this is sort of done through code? Because as I understand it, it's not a synchronous call, right? So you have to do some semi-complicated things. So what is the workflow for taking this, you know, this method that you're doing? You're calling into to get the location. What is it that you do to ask the user for permission first to make sure that this call will work?
So there's two things that the app can do. We also have a should show rationale kind of API that's there, which is enable of whether your application should just request the permission up front. So let's say you have a piece of code where you're going to use the camera as an example. Before you touch the camera API, first check, do I have the permission? There's an API that's in, I think it's an Activity Manager, where you can find out like what your permission grants are. By the way, only activities can do any of this stuff. Services can't request permissions. We can maybe get into that later.
Wait, who can't do it?
Services. Background services.
Okay. Yeah, got it.
But activities can. The reason being activities are in the foreground, so that's where you have context. So that's the whole
context, and you have UI.
And you have UI. So
if a service wants to get a permission, it would have to sort of create a notification that's tied to an activity.
Notification, or it can launch an activity that then provides context.
Okay.
But for the flow is you're first going to check your whether or not you have the permission. If you don't have the permission, your next check is whether you should show rationale or not. This is an OS call, and it's while strangely named, the idea is about if you've never presented the prompt before, we're going to say, no, you don't need to show rationale. The idea is, like, go for it. Back to that thing about dating. Just ask. Be cool if they say no, but just ask. And if the bulk of your users say yes, awesome, right? You're in the good zone. If a few people say no, and then now you can go, okay, now I should show rationale because I have a user that I asked. They said no. I can say, here's what I need it for. And if they say in your own UI, and if they say, nope, it's cool, dude. Don't need it. I get it, but I don't want it. Or I don't get it, and I don't want it. Then let it go. Like, you can gray out the button. You can maybe leave it there. If they press it again, you can prompt. But the idea is
I'm a little confused. So Android has some sort of API for tracking whether or not you've given rationale and what the response was so that you sort of have automatic state storage of whether or not you should try to ask again?
We try to handle the whether or not the application should show rationale for the developer. The idea is under the hood, we will handle a number of edge cases. So one reason that we have it, because normally you could just say, we could just reference count or just count how many times we've asked and decide whether or not. But there's other situations like, what if there's a device policy on your device that says, because we have the thing called device owner that came out in L, and device owners can set policies on applications and on the OS. So they might have disabled the camera permission.
If you work for like CIA or something, they're saying, hey.
I used to work on DARPA stuff. I couldn't even have a phone with a camera. Okay. But let's pretend that I had such a phone and they disabled the camera for it. We say no to, we'll always say no to that app because it makes no sense to show rationale because the user can never say yes. And under the hood, if an application were to request, because in the logic I'm showing here, your app would call should show rationale. You would then immediately say, okay, if I shouldn't show rationale, then I should just go for it, right? So you prompt. Now, in the case where there's a policy saying no, we just quickly turn around the no back to your application. And so then you, the developer, you didn't have to understand this scenario I'm talking about of like the DARPA guy who can't use the camera because we handled that logic for you through should show rationale. While if it was, now, there was no policy, we would say, no, the user said no, if they said no, and then you'd say, should show rationale? And then we'd say, yes. And then you can show your dialogue, and then you can make your choice about yes or no and whether you should reprompt. And so the idea is it's very convoluted. There's actually a thing online where you can see, we're talking all about visuals, and I'm like waving my hands frantically in the room as I try to explain it. But there's a good talk on, as Chet alluded to, that was at I/O, where there's mocks and UI examples of these dialogues, so it makes a bit more sense.
Right.
But the idea is we wanted to make it so that when the user is aligned with the developer, like when you're asking for something and they want to say yes, that's a one-touch experience. Like you prompt, they say yes, you move on.
Yep.
In the event of there being dissonance, that's when there can be an additional click, which is you ask, I say no, developer shows rationale, I either say yes and then we're on our way, or I say no and then we abort whatever that functionality was and go back to some other state. And so the idea being the majority of your users should be in the yes bucket. If the majority of your users are in the no bucket, there's probably something wrong with your messaging or with your brand as to why users are saying no to you.
Right.
And so we're optimizing for the case where users are saying yes and that the yes experience has a single click. We've seen on other implementations of things like runtime permissions is applications get really nervous about people saying no. This is where that dating thing comes back. You're so nervous, you never ask kind of situation, or you always do a screener question. So then if you're doing a screener, like where you say, first I'll ask in my own UI of like, hey, user, do you want me to have the camera? Here's my use case. And the user says yes, and then you prompt system UI for this dialogue after it. What you've created is a scenario where the user that agrees with you has two clicks instead of one. And we really want to create the scenario where the users that agree with you, should be the majority of your users, only have one click.
Yeah, so there were some operating systems that were sort of famous for popping up permission dialogues all the time, repeatedly. Do we have any kind of support in Android for preventing that scenario?
Yeah, so along with should just show rationale, we have this thing called never show again or never ask again that happens in prompts and dialogues on the second or more request to a permission. So the first one, the user has a yes or no choice. The second one after that, if they said no and then you reprompted, they now have a never ask again checkbox.
That happens automatically by the system UI.
Yeah, system UI will automatically populate that field on the like two and greater requests. Okay. And the idea is never ask again should really never be happening to your application unless there's something wrong in your pattern as a developer. And so you shouldn't be seeing this as a pattern unless you're being annoying, because that's the only time the user would ever see it. If we follow the pattern we've been discussing of user said no, then the app showed rationale, like in their own UI, hey, this is what I do. Are you comfortable? If they say yes, that's when you prompt the UI again, and there'll be the never ask again checkbox at this point.
Right.
But because you pre-screened them on the second way through, they should always be saying yes. And it's an explicit checkbox. It's unchecked to start, so the user has to explicitly say, yeah, I don't want to see it again, and then explicitly say no to this dialogue, at which point the OS kind of treats you as hostile. It's the signal to the OS that the developer has been naggy about a particular permission. So it's like the restraining order, if you will, to continue our dating example, that just kind of says like, no, we're not going to let this.
Went dark.
We're not going to let this prompt.
Can we add that checkbox to the dialogues that pop up and ask me if I would now go to the Play Store and rate their game?
Yeah, I would love to. That's something that's on my radar. It's very annoying. We're looking at.
We'll add a rating permission that they have to ask for.
Yeah, add more permissions. I'm sure that'll help.
Actually, speaking of adding more permissions, did we add more fine-grained permissions or did we change the permissions that we're asking about? Because some of the problem with the pre-granted permissions, not only was there the lack of context from granting this bulk permission thing on the Play Store, but also some of the permissions didn't map exactly to what the app needed. It's just that that's where the functionality was.
Yeah, we tried to clean up a good deal. We tried not to move too much stuff around, although there was a little bit of movement on some of the APIs. But in general, we tried to pare back a bit more than we had in the past. Some of those things were around phone state was a common one where we made some adjustments. The thing that we had found where a lot of apps wanted to know whether or not you were in a phone call. And based on whether or not you're in a phone call, they wanted to mute themselves or wanted to change their app's behavior when there's a phone actively happening or the phone's ringing.
But it sounds a little creepy out of
context. And then, the phone has to go like, can I have your phone state and identity, which is how we phrased it historically. Yeah. And people are like, are you going to give them my social security number? And I'm like, no. That's not a thing. That's not a thing. But the word identity is keyed for a lot of people. And so we restructured it to say, well, for applications that want to know you're in a phone call, that's fine. Who you're in a phone call with is important and needs to be protected by permission. But knowing the fact, like an app knowing a mobile phone is in a call or not is commonplace enough that apps can just have that information. But if they want to know who or they want to know any details about the call, whatever, then they have a permission that's described as the phone permission group, which they'll ask you, like the user, can you let this application manage and make phone calls? And so that permission is kind of the key of, okay, now it's going to know information about who I'm calling and what I'm doing. But that's behind the permission. But then the other part of, I just want to know if you're in a phone call so Netflix doesn't talk over, your movies when you're in a call, that one makes good sense and shouldn't need a permission prompt.
Okay. And then the other question I had was, we talked about sort of upfront getting all the permissions that your app is going to require, no matter what, and then just get the more particular ones in the context of the action that they're doing. So when they request, when the app says, well, I need these five always, is there a way to ask for all of those or do they then go through five separate dialogues?
They do go through five separate dialogues, but there is a way to have an accelerated flow of that. The idea being is we tried to hit this balance of allowing for an application to request multiple things, but not making it so greased or so smooth that all applications then want to always use this. Because if you give them like a big one shot, like let me request five things and one click of the OK button grants everything, every app would do that. And then if you said no, your apps would immediately follow up with you and say, oh, well, let me ask you individually now because you said no, but maybe it was because of this one and not the other four. So we ended up structuring it where an app can request multiple in one shot, but we will prompt the user one at a time with a very exciting animation. So thank you, Chet, for that, for the framework support for it. It presents each permission one at a time. The developer chooses what the order is, so you can figure out what's the right order to ask them in. And then the user can pound on the yes button if they want. They can pound on the no button if they want. But the idea is it works really well for two or three as a group. It feels awkward when it's eight. And so kind of intentional for the design.
So I just, put a new system image on my phone, and so I had to sort of go through this accepting thing for all the apps that were reinstalled, and some of them, might have been Hangouts, I'm not sure, had many. And so I was smashing on that button quite a bit for a lot of them. So it would be nice
You're seeing a thing that's kind of internal, because we haven't fully launched this yet. And so many of our internal apps at Google are still struggling with what is the right way to ask. And so the intermediate behavior that some apps have is they just blast you with everything up front. They know that's not where they want to actually be.
I see.
So what we're going to be seeing is, give you an example of the it's a good app, Messenger. So the Messenger app that Google has, not Facebook Messenger, but for SMS, if you were to go fetch that app from the Play Store and install it on an M device, the rough behavior that they're ending up with is they're going to start up, they're going to say, I need phone and I need SMS and contacts. Those are the three they're going to ask you for up front. And, well, they're an SMS client. So knowing your phone information, knowing SMS and being able to send it, and then knowing the contacts to send it to makes perfect sense for an SMS app to have it. But they're not going to ask you for location, which they have a feature where you can share your location to your friend. They're not going to ask you for camera because they have a built-in camera picker. They have a translation feature where you can speak into it and it just transcribes what you're saying. They're not going to ask for that until you press the button that says, like, mic record or share a picture or do these other actions. And so they're splitting it up. And the stuff that they need up front, they're going to request. And the stuff they can do in context that's optional, they're going to wait until it's in place.
Right.
So long-winded answer, but that's the structure of it. The one thing that's the people who are listening might be like, oh, God, that's a lot of work. Kind of is. So I'll say it is a bit of work to think about, you know, how do you do that split up? I think it's a worthwhile, though, endeavor. One, it'll improve your ratings. At least we believe it'll improve your ratings in the Play Store, because people that see these dialogues and see the care that's being put into how you ask and that you're only asking for the things you need and you're asking for everything else in context, it gains trust with the user base. It'll help you in the long run. So we kind of believe it is a bit of work, but it's also, I think, a worthwhile effort. Speaking of the Play Store, there's one thing I wanted to call out. I almost said it a while back but forgot, was about one other benefit for the developer to do the runtime model is because we're not showing permissions and granting them at install for these new M-targeted apps, Play is not going to give that prompt anymore, saying like, hey, these are all the permissions of this application. Do you accept? Because now, as we've been talking about, it's going to happen when you're using the application. This gives you two nice things. One, there's one less click in your install flow. Less clicks means less people bail. And the other one is when your app updates and adds new permissions, that happens automatically now. Today,
the user doesn't have to go in.
The user doesn't have to go into Play and go look at pending updates and then accept them individually, which takes a lot longer to get your updates out. It just slows everything down.
Well, I've heard some developers are concerned about adding permissions because they lose users that way.
I've talked to some developers that are large companies that have a team of people that exist solely to identify this problem and make sure that their applications across the company add the same permission at the same time. So it makes sense because of these prompts, because they know they're going to take a hit when they ask for it.
Either that or you ask for everything up front.
Or you bludgeon the user, and then you take a hit on your ratings.
Yeah.
And so the idea is that problem vanishes because now applications can add permissions in app updates, and it doesn't block your update because permissions are off by default on install. So if you, say, have a new feature, it's just coming out, it needs location as an example, turn it on. Put it in your manifest. It's not going to gate your updates. It's not going to prompt to the user until you ask for it. And so it makes it like you can now introduce the user to your new feature and ask for that permission in context. And it really helps users like feel trust with the developer. And that goes a long way across a number of things.
So there is a bit of work. So where would developers go to learn more about it? Obviously, your talk at I.O. I don't know if there was other talks at I.O.
It was mentioned in a few other ones, but like yourself. But the real big one was my own. There will be new content coming up on the developer.android.com site. But there's also a developer page strictly about permissions that's available today. It talks about the specific APIs. It runs through the flow of using Shitshow rationale that I kind of like waved my hands at. On how to structure, and so all that stuff's on the site today. But there will be more specifically around design patterns that we're looking at working on, which is, you know, giving some more like case study-ish examples of, okay, here's an application like the one I gave before of Messenger, and how some of its permissions make sense to ask up front, and some of them make sense to do in context. And so giving that kind of those learnings that we've looked at internally on what the recommended flows are.
Okay, speaking of which, what has been the feedback so far? So developers first saw this in the preview release. I know. So your talk was interesting. Normally, you know, a 45-minute talk will be 35, 40 minutes, or in my case, it tend to be 50 minutes. And then the rest of the time for Q&A, in my case, -5 minutes. With your talk, it was like, well, you were done in 10 or 15. And then there was a solid half hour.
Yeah.
People raced to the mic.
I went an hour after they turned the camera off, too, with questions of a line of people.
Right.
Afterwards.
So, I mean, it's a huge change, and it's a really good change. People have been, to be clear, we're not doing this arbitrarily, right? People, developers as well as users, have been asking for this kind of thing for a while.
I think one morning I woke up and I'm like, how can I screw with people today?
So it's really good, but people have to learn how to deal with it. So now that people have actually had it in their hands since the preview release at I.O., what's the feedback?
Yeah, generally really positive. I think the trick has been, like, it's been kind of double-sided, where there is a chunk of work. So people kind of, the common one I get is like, the developer in me is like, oh God, but the user in me is really happy. And so I'm like, just think about that user, like cradle the user. because in general, people do like that they're going to now have a level of control that they don't have today. We also put a lot of thought into the groupings and how they are now structured to be questions that are more about the action and the impact. Like for audio, we say, like, do you want to allow this application to record audio? Do you want this application to take photos and record video? And so those are all very user understandable concepts. You don't need a CS background, as opposed to saying, do you want this application to have your phone state? What does that mean? Even so, our internal engineers, I'm like, do you know what it means? And they're like, well, it means this. And I'm like, you're halfway right. Here's the other stuff that it means. I'm like, oh, didn't know that. So figuring out the groupings was really a lot of the time, and that's where we're seeing the most kind of acceptance from the user base. Like, I mainly control my own comments on YouTube, so if you want to say disparaging things, there's a place to do it. I'll read it.
I have a hard time reading YouTube comments.
I'm usually okay with it. But that's where they, like, we've generally seen a lot of people, like, looking at the talk and being pretty pumped about it. A lot of questions, and so that's where people are kind of concerned, because the worst thing you can tell usually applications is you can't have data, because, like, in concept, that's all applications do, is they help you use data and do something with data in a very, like, loose sense. And so when there's a capability in the OS where now you go from 100% of your apps having all the data that they expect to have to some number lower than 100% of your apps having all the data they need, it can make you kind of nervous. And so that's where most of the questions come up, and helping developers understand how they can keep that number really high, like 95% plus being in the yes bucket.
Well, I mean, superficially, it seems like adding in a, hey, can I have this permission check before you call something, seems very simple. So it doesn't seem like this should be a lot of work for developers. But I understand part of the problem is that these are not synchronous calls, right? So what you have to actually change to where your activity is written to have a callback. So it's really kind of like a state machine where, if we're in this state,
there might be an option for a synchronous one.
That would make things...
I can talk with folks internally. I recall a discussion about synchronous, but we can find out.
Yeah, that'd be great. In fact, we probably should try to make it into the tools where you have like an easy refactoring, right? So just if I can do a quick plug for the tools for a second around this. We have, you know, all the new support annotations, and I think we talked about that back when we had the couple of tools podcast. And one of the new ones in there is basically for permission requirements. So you can, on an API, say, hey, this API is going to require this set of permissions. And we've actually gone in and added that on some of the dangerous ones. Not all of them, and certainly an even smaller percentage of the non-dangerous ones, right? But many of the big dangerous ones, like location, like camera, like, you know, Bluetooth or whatever. And so we have those. And once we have that metadata, Lint and Android Studio will use this to actually flag calls. So if your target SDK is M, and we see a method call, and that method call is associated with permission requirement, we'll say, hey, this thing requires this permission that we don't find in your manifest. And then there's a quick fix for saying, yeah, you know, add it to the manifest. But then if you're on M as well, it'll say, hey, are you actually checking for this permission, or are you catching security exception? And if you're not, we'll say, you probably need to do something for requesting the permission here. What I would like, though, is for that to have a quick fix where you can go ka-ching, and then it inserts all the right stuff for asking. But the way things were back when I looked, this required like restructuring a lot of things, adding interfaces and callbacks and actually changing the flow, and that we couldn't do. But if there's an easy synchronous mode as a temporary thing or a permanent thing, that would be
in practice for a lot of teams. Like, it took them about 24 hours to do their calls in their UI. Like, most teams actually didn't have too much of a problem with it.
Oh, that's great.
Some of the more complex apps that Google has internally that have many, many entry points for many different things, or they have a very wide team of people that are writing potentially redundant code, those are the teams that had kind of a harder time. But you could argue that the reason they had a harder time was because their code base is like in need of refactor. so anything that is a large-scale change ends up being painful solely because the code is somewhat repetitive. But yeah. if your application generally has like a decent flow for it, like you're going to be in good shape. Other thing to highlight, like it's not like when Emd comes out, all your applications are in this world. You have the choice of when you move to the Emd APIs, like the target SDK. That's when you're going to get treated in the new world. So you have a bit of time as a developer to figure out the right strategy. And there is always like the, if you really want to be in this world and you don't ask for any permissions, asking up front can be a way forward, because then you just do, I boot, I check what permissions I have. If I don't have everything I need, ask for them, and then I proceed. That effectively guards your entire application because you won't lose stuff while you're running, as we talked about before, because we'll clobber you on the head and restart you. So even just kind of loose checks on boot can be a strategy for a 1.0 permissions model. We don't really want it to be, let me just ask for 8 things up front on first run. That's going to probably annoy your consumers. But for things that ask 1 to 2, it may be appropriate, especially if they're necessary for your app to function.
When you said the teams had 24 hours to convert to the new model, like there's a sliding scale of converting. Was this they're still targeting pre-M and they were just handling the error conditions, or was this they were moving to M?
Yeah, moving to the M target. Okay. So a lot of our teams have been doing that. It's been varied. Like some teams have taken a lot longer, some teams have been kind of quick. It really depends on the complexity of the application as to how hard it is to ask for things. But like Messenger, as an example, had the easiest time, I think, compared to most other teams. There's a news and weather app that we make that switched over. That one asks for location. And I think it has a few other things in there, but that's just mainly to – it is pretty easy for them to make the transition.
So the basics are pretty easy, but it probably depends on how many permissions, how many of them are dangerous, how many of them you want to put behind some sort of context.
And how many of them make sense. The worst ones are if you have a feature where – you have to really explain to the consumer why you need something, or the ROI is not evident. Those are the hardest ones to make sense of, and the hardest ones to promote on. So one of the common ones that some of our applications, like I'll pick on our dialer as an example, the Google dialer has location. How do you know why? Quiz.
I don't. Oh wait, is this for the figuring out the reverse phone number stuff?
It's so you can search for businesses directly in the search field. So their search field allows you just to type in a business name or one of your contacts. And so that's like, that's like super cool. I don't have to go to Maps first and then search for it there and then hit the call button. I can just type in like the various guitar stores that I want to go visit. But it doesn't jump out at you as to why it needs it. And so those are the cases where it kind of is the trickiest, because then your question is, well, do I want to ask for location up front for that? Do you want a zero state for when you click on the search button and then we show an empty state where there's a like better with location and like click here to turn it on? Like there's all these different strategies you can take. And so those are situations where it's less a developer kind of problem in terms of like the coding isn't so much of the problem. It's figuring out what to do and what is the best way that's going to get you the best conversion for people saying yes. Because in the case where they understand, most people will say, yeah, that's a good feature. And for those that don't, that's fine. Like they can say, no, I don't want it. But the structure of it is, if they at least understand what you're doing it for, then you have a much higher chance of them saying yes.
Right. So here's a random question. Through all your deep and rewarding work on permissions through M, have you learned a permission or a set of permissions that you really wish developers would stop asking for?
Phone is the common one. I think we see a lot of applications.
And now that's easier because maybe they can get the permission they actually intended.
A lot of apps needed it for things like the knowing you're in a phone call, but a lot of applications like using the IMEI of the device to know what device it is and to know that there's consistency of the IMEI being a constant for a particular device.
Is this so that you can like have a unique user ID?
Yeah, because
they
want
to have a recommended practice for how to generate those, because I've seen many different Stack Overflow.
I have one which is just generate a random number and store it locally, and then continue using it as a reference. Like if you need to have something that's generally consistent for the lifetime of your application, I can just generate a random number and save it locally in your folder. The idea that you want to have this longevity of knowing this is a device I used to be installed on is probably not ideal.
Well, it's probably not that, but they probably want to make sure that you can distinguish between two different users if it's a thing that goes to a server.
Right, and so that this is the way you can register, generate a number, register it with your server, and say I am, for this number.
Okay.
And then you can able to do your calls, lots of good strategies for doing stuff like that. Generally, that works. But IMEI is a common one. And one of the things that we kind of expect to see is for apps that currently want to use IMEI as a unique identifier like that, we'll have to now ask for a permission that says, do you want to allow this application to make and manage phone calls? And it's not going to make sense. And that's kind of by design. that it doesn't make sense because the application doesn't really have a good use for your IMEI, which is a very kind of device-specific related to your phone identifier, but you're using it for something that doesn't really – you have other alternatives to using a device identifier like that. So some of those are going to be kind of impacted for people.
All right.
The other thing I was thinking a couple of questions back, but I didn't want to interrupt Chet, was it seems like if you have an app and you're not ready to go to M yet, the first thing you'll want to do is just trying to turn off all your permissions and seeing if your app crashes, right? And basically start catching these security exceptions.
Yeah, that's one, like the poor man's approach to it. Yeah. Just like remove all your dangerous permissions
and make
from
it
your application
work.
And run it and then watch the fireworks and then proceed through your code and you'll get there.
And then you kind of have a bare bones app that works, right? Presumably, all the permissions you ask for, you'll have.
Yep. And that's a good strategy too. The other one to your question about Bluetooth, it wasn't about Bluetooth, but it was what learned from this experience was we changed the behaviors for Bluetooth as well, which has gotten a lot of attention from a number of developers. Bluetooth scanning, as an example, now requires the location permission, which before, like you might scratch your head and like, okay, why? Like what's going on here? The reason is, as with Wi-Fi, it also applies to Wi-Fi, is you're using identifiers of likely fixed points of other devices and associating them as points of reference. There's big databases out there for Wi-Fi MAC addresses, for Bluetooth MAC addresses that they know, that like vans and various companies have driven around to figure out where those exist in the world. And then you can geolocate somebody just by knowing what Wi-Fi hotspots they're near. And so what we found was most applications that are doing Wi-Fi scans are actually doing this under the hood. They're using it as a proxy for a location. And
nice.
So we wanted to put a location permission in this flow. And so if your application already has the location permission, done. You continue proceeding with Wi-Fi scanning because the disclosure has been done. There's other options, though. If you're not using location, you can use the system UI flows where you can have the user connect through quick settings. You can have the user connect through intents to the settings application so they can then pair and scan to a particular Bluetooth device. And then once it's connected, no permissions required to interact with something that's already connected because that's a much smaller set. So those are all then, like, it just changes the flow for an application where before you might have done the scanning and discovery all within your app. If you need location anyways, like let's say you're a fitness application and you're doing this, it's pretty likely you're already getting location by benefit of being a fitness app. So it's not really an escalation in anything. You're already asking for location. It's kind of critical to being a fitness app if you have a paired Bluetooth device. Yeah. If you're doing something a bit more unique, you should probably look at that. It has nothing to do with location. Then using system UI to facilitate your connection is the way to go instead of using the permission.
So what if you're an older app, you built it on L,
yeah,
and now it's running on an M device, and you do not have the location permission?
We have grandfathering behaviors for this kind of stuff, so we're not gonna make you explode. At least that's the intention. So it's really when that decision to move over, this can somewhat make a reverse incentive to not migrate to the MSDK. But the thing I kind of don't, when I even like overstate to an extent, is we believe the change about updates and that updates now aren't going to be blocked when new permissions are requested is huge for developers as a big win, because that tends to be a real trouble spot for everybody. And that can't be attained without moving to the MSDK. Neither can any of the new MAPIs. So if you want any of those, you need to move into the new model. But we're kind of trying to give developers at least enough time to make, you know, smart decisions about their behavior rather than having apps explode in new and exciting ways.
So you know the three most important permissions for anybody doing Wi-Fi scanning. It's location, location, location.
There you go.
So with
we
that,
have a show title. Wow.
I'm out of questions. I don't know if you have anything else to say, Tor.
No. Very excited about this.
Cool.
It should be a good thing. A little bit of work for developers to do, but hopefully a brave new and bright world.
Yeah. So far, users like it. So be the first to do it. Get the extra ratings on your apps out there. At least that's my hope. People will like it.
Awesome. Thanks.